Let's pray. May these words, and may all words that we are inspired to hear this morning, lead us to your wisdom, your truth, and your love. Amen. Had raised her hand the minute the chair of the hospitality committee had asked for a volunteer. It was all very last minute. She would have no time to prepare for the guest, but in truth, she welcomed the distraction. "Come on in," she said when Jesus arrived. Just make yourself at home." She offered him a cup of water, letting him cool off from the hot sun, and showed him into the big front room with the low table. No, she said, take this cushion. It's more comfortable," she said. No, it's no trouble at all." But in fact, she did have to go to a bit of trouble, rooting through the cupboards to find fresh sheets for the bed in the guest room, scrounging in the kitchen for some bread she might put out for him, some olives, maybe some cheese, digging down deep to her elbows in the freezer, trying to locate something she might possibly pull out to serve for dinner, those little meatballs maybe, some frozen pizza. Martha could feel a bead of sweat starting to trickle down her forehead when she came back into the front room with a tray full of snacks and special drinks. She knew Mary would be sitting there talking to him. But Martha had too much on her mind to want to join them. She was about to go back to prepping dinner when she heard her sister say, "There is so much I've been struggling with lately that I want to ask you about." "Oh no," Martha thought. "Don't burden Jesus with all of our problems." She tried to change the subject. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me," she said. Martha reminds me a lot of certain women I know, women a generation or two older than I am, women who never sit down, who are renowned for their hospitality and the order in their homes, women who say things like, "You know, dinner isn't going to cook itself." Women whose bright and cheery expressions aren't necessarily revealing of what they're actually feeling. I've always read this story of Mary and Martha as a teaching moment. Don't let yourself get distracted by household work and putting on a big show for guests. Put first things first. But today, I'm wondering, what deeper feelings are percolating within us when we can't sit with our thoughts, when we need to be distracted? 10 years ago, when fires broke out in the city of West Kelowna, a 45-minute drive from my grandparents' home, my grandmother spent the duration of our summer visit pacing and frenzied, forcing herself to smile and saying things like, "Happy hour, anyone?" Men are equally affected. I remember my dad maniacally cleaning our house the week my mom left to go and stay with one of her friends and clear her head for a bit. A couple we know hosted a big party at their home just a few weeks before they announced their divorce. The host had baked 20 different loaves of bread for the event. "I just had this urge to bake," he said. Sometimes what we're going through is so big and so challenging that it's easier to invite 50 people over for dinner than it is to talk about it. And even if we were to open up, would a word from anyone really change anything? I think the trouble at the heart of this story is not the fact that Martha is busy and flustered, but that she needs all the preparations of hosting to distract her. Perhaps she doesn't stop and sit at Jesus' feet because she perceives her challenges and difficulties to be so overwhelming that she can't conceive of being met with any word that might fill her with courage or conviction or hope. And that is a hard place to be. When I turn on the radio in the morning, I hear stories about all the issues we've been dealing with in our Hot Topics summer sermon series. This week alone, I listened to a report about the ongoing presence and persistence of illegal pot shops here in Toronto, testimony to the number of people in our city who are dealing with pain, both physical and emotional. I heard about incidents that spoke to the persistence of racism and white privilege, suspected racial profiling on the TTC. The audio chants of the crowd at one of U.S. President Donald Trump's political rallies, "Send her back! Send her back!" The exclusively white crowd roared, referring to a Somali-born congresswoman, a citizen of the United States. And there's a heat dome over southern Ontario. It's like putting a lid on a frying pan, a climatologist said, a phenomenon of global warming. And on the front page of this weekend's report on business in the Globe and Mail, a photo of an office window overlooking Mount Royal in Montreal, on which someone had written the words, "super secret AI stuff." So they looked superimposed over the natural landscape. We hear about these issues, and we read about them through our news feeds, but we don't always want to talk about them here, in the presence of Jesus. Here we are, with Jesus right here, with us, as he was with Martha and Mary, and we don't necessarily want to bring up the big issues with which we're struggling. We prefer to rush into the sanctuary and rush out, distract ourselves with putting on the coffee hour, or by all the preparations for whatever event is next in our schedule. Martha gets it. It's easier to bustle around, busy, than it is to sit and feel some of the worry and some of the fear and some of the uncertainty. It's hard to have to face some of what's challenging us right now. And we might wonder what Jesus might possibly say to make any of it more manageable. What good is Jesus going to do? Back in the first century, the world wasn't grappling with artificial intelligence and a machine's endless potential to mine digital data to make inferences and predictions useful to endeavors like government surveillance, efforts at security, corporate profits. No one Jesus knew lost their job to automation. No one Jesus knew wondered about the effects of intelligent machines on human curiosity and inquisitiveness and creativity, how a machine's deep learning might affect our privacy, how data manipulation might affect our democracy. Jesus didn't have to advocate for research into the social impact of artificial intelligence or the development of ethics boards to ensure that super intelligent machines are controlled and built in the way that we want them to be, for maximum social benefit. He didn't have to notice that before the prospect of an intelligence explosion, We are like small children playing with a bomb, as the Oxford philosopher Nick Bostrom writes. And we have little idea when the detonation will occur, he continues. Intelligent machines have been observed to draw lessons from their experience. They have the ability to teach themselves and improve upon their own design, all of which is relatively innocuous when it comes to defeating humans at chess, but what about when it comes to running global economic markets, or overseeing weapons technology, or drawing inferences for insurance companies? What guidelines will a super intelligent machine use to make decisions? Whose ethics will it engage? Whose interests? Could all-powerful machines subvert human control? Could the psalmist's question to God become a question for a super intelligent machine? What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? I've raised AI as an example of a fourth force with which I'm reckoning. But you will have your own forces with which you wrestle, and you've brought them with you today. We've named some of them: grief, perhaps, an illness, your finances, your relationships. Perhaps we don't stop and sit at Jesus' feet because we're aware of the overwhelming nature of our challenges. What can Jesus do? What can Jesus say to all that we are carrying? Do we really think there's a word of courage or conviction or hope that will actually help? Perhaps we stay busy and purposefully distracted so as not to be disappointed. When my husband's English granny died, she was in her 100th year of life, and I inherited her pocket-sized, it's just about the size of my palm, her pocket-sized book of common prayer. It's bound in soft brown leather, and its pages are as fragile as Granny's skin always looked to be. I received the book along with a small paper card, just about that size, on which a prayer was printed in blue calligraphy, and on the back, one of her friends had written these words to Granny at some unknown time, with good wishes for a speedy recovery. Lord Jesus Christ, be thou beside me to defend me, the prayer reads. Be thou within me to keep me. Be thou before me to lead me. Be thou behind me to guard thee. Be thou above me to bless thee, that with thee and in thee I may live and have my being forever and ever. That's what the prayer said. My husband's English granny was born in 1914 at the outbreak of the First World War. Can you imagine? And she died in 2013. She'd lived all over the world, in Brussels and Belgrade and Malta and Baghdad, in New York, Berlin, and Ottawa. She'd moved multiple times across the Atlantic and back, moved houses, then moved into an assisted living residence. And I hadn't known her to be an overtly religious person. But it struck me that she'd kept her Book of Common Prayer for 85 years. It was dated inside on the front cover December 12, 1928, the date of her confirmation. In all her movements and travels, and in all she'd seen and struggled through, that book was never lost or misplaced. And that card on which that prayer was written, it was meticulously kept. Like, I have papers from yesterday that look older and more ragged. And so what that says to me is that prayer was for her a prized possession. Somebody had obviously been instructed through all the years of packing and unpacking to keep it safe. Lord Jesus Christ, be thou beside me. Could it be that she actually believed that he was? Over all those years, in those times when she was worried and upset, when she took to distracting herself, like Martha, anxious and frazzled and carrying all the concerns and challenges of a world in flux, could it be that she believed that Jesus had a word for her that was equal to her circumstances? Lord Jesus Christ, be before me, be above thee, that with thee and in thee I may live. You are worried and upset about many things, Jesus says. Big things, challenges that are hard to talk about, struggles too overwhelming at times for words. Social and societal issues about which you wonder whether you can have an impact. You are worried and upset about many things, Jesus says. But only one thing is needed. Sit with me. I have a word for you. It is the witness of the Christian faith that we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I am the bread of life, Jesus says, and those who believe in me will never go hungry. I'm struck by the fact that the leather on that pocket-sized Book of Common Prayer is worn. It meant that Granny actually turned to its words. Those words sustained her when she was anxious. Those words strengthened her when she was weak. Those words nourished her and filled her and gave her courage and conviction and hope. You are worried and upset about many things, Jesus says, but only one thing is needed. Come, sit and hear a word just for you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, Jesus says. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh, he says. Woman, you are free from your infirmity. Friend, your sins are forgiven you, he says. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Here we are, seated at Jesus' feet. I know many things upset us and worry us, but right now we just need to sit and listen and be fed. You don't need to try to change the subject, Jesus said. And I don't know what word exactly he said to Mary as she sat there, but I know she received something, because Jesus said it wouldn't be taken away from her. She sat with Jesus, she shared her angst, and Mary heard something in response. Perhaps a single word has bubbled into your mind and heart as you've been sitting here with all your thoughts. It won't be taken away from you. It is bread for living, from the bread of life. Amen.